Today on the 21st show, how well rested are kids and teens for the school day? We'll talk about why so many teenagers struggle to get enough sleep and the research around how later school start times could help. Then we'll get into the debate among parents, teachers, and students over why schools should or should not start later. We want to hear from you. Does a school in your area start too early or too late, or maybe it's just right? Our phones are open throughout the hour. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. I'm Brian Mackey. That's all coming up today on the 21st show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. But first, news. From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday marked the end of this year's daylight saving time. Our clocks all fell back an hour, and at least some of us were lucky enough to use the extra hour to sleep. It's something that is in short supply for many people. In 2022, the CDC estimated more than a third of adults in Illinois did not get enough sleep. And for Illinois teenagers specifically, those numbers are much, much higher. Back in 2021, the CDC estimated was that about 80% of Illinois' high school students are not getting the rest they need. It's a trend doctors have been warning about for a while now. A bit more than a decade ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a statement saying that middle schools and high schoolers should not begin their classes before 8:30. Later on in the program today, we'll talk with people in education across Illinois about why school start times are what they are and whether they should or even could change. But we start today with some experts on sleep. Dr. Lindsay McCullough is a sleep medicine physician at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, and Dr. Stephanie Crowley is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, also at Rush. She directs the Pediatric Chronobiology and Sleep Research Program. Dr. McCullough, Dr. Crowley, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Listeners, our phone lines are open throughout the hour today. We'll be talking with Dr. McCullough and Dr. Crowley, however, for just the first part of our program. If you have questions about the sleep kids should be getting or what the effects of the sleep they get are, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. McCullough, sleep is obviously, it's something that's foundational to our bodies and our health. Talk about how that is especially the case for children and teenagers.
Yes, so I think most of us know what it feels like to have a bad night of sleep. And for kids, it's so much more important to get a healthy sleep because it impacts their growth and development over time. So kids between the ages of 6 and 12 need between 9 to 12 hours of sleep, and teens ages 13 to 18 should get between 8 to 10 hours of sleep at night. And it's shown that when our kids get healthy sleep, they are happier, they're healthier, they can pay attention better in school and perform better both in and out of the classroom, and are safer with less car crashes and less risk-seeking behavior. We know that with sleep deprivation in teens, we see more increase in childhood obesity and diabetes, and these risks can project into adulthood as well.
Dr. Crowley, what are some of the things that affect the quality of the sleep that we get, especially for young people?
Well, there's, in addition to sleep duration, as you said, quality is just as important as sleep duration. And also timing. So if we're sleeping at a good time for our body or according to our clock, our internal circadian clock, that's when we get the best sleep. So sleep timing is very important to get the best quality and fewer disruptions in our sleep. The other thing that may not surprise you is to bring your cell phone into bed may also disrupt the quality of your sleep. So a lot of teenagers...
Sorry. Oh, I just said, what? Come on.
Do we all do this? So, a lot of teenagers will bring their phones into the bedroom and say, well, I need it for the alarm the next day. But what happens is if we don't put it on do not disturb or turn it off or take it out of the bedroom, then we might be getting messages all night from friends. And some teens will actually respond to messages in the middle of the night. So some of the listeners might know what I'm talking about. But this is very disruptive. And if we're waking up several times a night, we're not going to get the good quality sleep. Even though we might be in bed trying to get sleep, the quality is just not going to be as great. So that can also be a risk factor for daytime sleepiness. And the other implications of daytime sleepiness that Dr. McCullough has already mentioned.
All right, Dr. McCullough, so phones are obviously a huge factor in why so many of our high schoolers, 80%, as I said, according to that statistic from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cell phones are a big factor in why so many high schoolers struggle to get enough sleep, let alone quality sleep. What are some of the other factors that you're aware of?
So I'd like to bring into the conversation the discussion of school start times. Teens are, in addition to the cell phone use that can delay all of our sleep, teens are hardwired to be night owls, and their biology makes it so it can be harder to go to sleep before 11 p.m. And so the average school start time in Illinois is 8:08 in the morning. And if we do this calculation, if a teen goes to sleep at 11 p.m., for them to get 8 hours, they wake up at 7. Oftentimes, you have to get up much earlier than that to catch a bus or do other things. So that time, allowing enough time to sleep that is compatible with the teen biology is really important.
808, great Kanye West album. Not a good school start time. I got it.
Agreed.
Why you mentioned that teenagers have that sort of later than the sort of night owl. I myself tend to favor, like if I don't have work, I tend to sort of shift my schedule a little later. What is it about teenage biology in particular that causes that or results in that?
Well, what we see as you become a teenager is we all have an intrinsic biologic circadian rhythm. And that helps affect when we're more likely to get better sleep and fall asleep, and also when we're more likely to be more alert and awake. And that timing is also impacted by the time that we get light in the morning. So if light is given first thing in the morning, it can help a teen wake up better and get that circadian rhythm in a more locked in position, where if they have the consistent sleep hygiene of having consistent sleep schedules where they're going to bed and waking up at the same time, getting that bright light can be helpful. But I would, in terms of the science itself on why teens are delayed a little later, Dr. Crawley may know more about the exact mechanism why that happens, but we do see it very consistently that they are later, and that impacts their ability to get sleep.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
and
I
go
can
ahead,
add
please. Yeah, we don't
to
have to do, the full medical school lecture on it, but maybe
that.
for our lay audience, we can understand it a little better.
Yeah, so I
Yeah.
would just add, and Lindsay's right. There's just a lot of competition with early bedtimes for teenagers. So their biology, as Dr. McCullough has already said, their biology changes significantly during puberty. So during the teenage years, the brain systems for how sleep is controlled actually favors alertness in the evening. So there's a lot of, so in the evening, more mature post-pubertal adolescents, usually in high school, are really alert in the evening. And, at that age too, we're starting to think, well, I can make decisions. I don't need my parents anymore to make decisions for me. So I'm going to decide when I want to go to bed. And, which is what they're kind of supposed to be doing. And then we also have lots of homework. So there's an increase in homework. There's an increase in kind of expanding the social network and trying to figure out who they want to hang out with, which again is appropriate. And then sports are getting more competitive. And so practices might be more often and longer, after school activities. So there's just a lot of stuff that happens after school. And, you know, all this stuff is to help them grow and develop and become independent adults. But with their biology, so you have this alertness signal with all this other stuff going on, it's really hard for teenagers to go to bed early. So, you know, 11 o'clock, midnight, that's actually a pretty normal bedtime for most teenagers. But then we have school start times that are around 8 o'clock and 7:45, 8 o'clock, 8:15 or so in Illinois. So, you know, they're waking up between 6 and 6:30. So that really just squeezes the opportunity for sleep. And it squeezes, we don't give teens enough of an opportunity to get the adequate sleep they need. So there's a lot of factors that are preventing teens from going to bed early, their biology and these other social factors.
Yeah, let me remind listeners, it's the 21st show. We're talking for the hour today about school start times, from the sleep our kids are supposed to be getting to how it affects them when they don't get that sleep. And we're starting our program today with Dr. Lindsay McCullough, a sleep medicine physician at Rush University Medical Center, and Dr. Stephanie Crowley, a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Rush University in Chicago. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. 800-222-9455. So, Dr. Crowley, what do we know about the difference that later school start times can have on the health of young people, particularly in terms of their sleep?
Well, this science has been being conducted for many decades now. And we know from several studies that students will get more sleep. The likelihood of getting more than 8 hours of sleep is much higher with later school start times. They feel better, both in terms of their mood and daytime sleepiness. They use less caffeine to stay awake. They perform better academically. They have better attendance rates, fewer tardies, so reduced tardiness, higher graduation rates, fewer car crashes. Because actually, you know, car crashes are a leading cause of death in teens across the United States. Partly because they are inexperienced, but also because of drowsy driving. So if we give them the opportunity to sleep, we reduce their daytime sleepiness. And when they're driving to school in the morning, there's fewer car crashes as well. So there are a number of benefits to starting schools at a healthy time. Again, as you said, it's after 8:30 for high schoolers and middle schoolers. So there are a number of good things that can happen for student health and mental health, physical health, and also public safety.
Dr. McCullough, when you think of all the things that we have done in our society in America for the health of young people, right, from raising the drinking age to prohibiting smoking and vaping and changing the way we issue driver's licenses to make it more restrictive, where would you rate the importance of, you know, school start times as it relates to sleep, you know, from the sort of a public health perspective?
That's a phenomenal question. I think that sleep health a lot of times is forgotten and undervalued, but if you are driving sleep deprived at any age, it is the equivalent of driving drunk. And when we think about laws around drunk driving, it's a very big issue. So I would place it at the top of many of these initiatives that you listed.
And one of the topics we're going to get into later in the program is how feasible it is to make some of these changes, right? Not just for schools, but for the parents who have to set their schedules around, you know, school start times. How do you, Dr. McCullough, how do you make the case that this kind of change is worth the disruption it would cause?
Yes, it's a great question too, because an adjustment and change is always difficult. And there's been other districts within Illinois that have implemented this. So we know it's not impossible. In California, they delayed the high school start times to 8:30. So there have been whole states that have done this. So we know that it's possible. And logistically, there are some challenges, but I will say that there was a great study that came out a handful of years ago, looking at, you know, everything revolves around money, right? So the financial implications of implementing delayed school start times, and what it showed that was that delaying school start times costs a little bit up front, and then after 2 years, the states recuperate that money and then exponentially have so much more money to use for other initiatives. And so I think we humans are very resilient, and we can adjust our schedules, and we've had to face a lot of challenges. And if we could make this leap and do this in our individual lives, I think everyone would benefit.
All right, we are going to wrap up this part of the conversation now. Dr. Lindsay McCullough is a sleep medicine physician at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. Dr. Stephanie Crowley is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Rush. Thank you both so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having us and having this conversation.
Yeah, well, coming up after the break, we're going to continue this conversation with some people in education throughout the state. We're also going to hear a student perspective. If you have questions or thoughts you'd like to share throughout the rest of the hour, 800-222-9455 is our number. How early did you start your day in high school? How did that affect you? I think it was 7:45 for me. I had to catch the bus shortly after 6. It was pretty brutal. What do you think about the idea of moving school start times a bit later in the morning? Let us know, 800-222-9455. We'll talk more about all that in a few minutes. This is the 21st Show.
Support for the 21st Show comes from the Des Moines Art Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and our topic today on this first weekday after the end of daylight saving time for the year is school start times and how they can affect the sleep kids get. We got a lot of listener reaction on this topic, including this voicemail.
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm calling from Franklin Grove, and about the later start for high schoolers. Yes, this has been a problem forever. I'm 61, and when I was a teenager, I also thought it was crazy that the little kids started, you know, at 8:39, and us high schoolers had to start like at 7:38. I was like, why don't they just switch that around some? You know, little kids want to get up early. The high schoolers want to sleep in. Change it. It's good.
All right. We'll hear some competing perspectives on that a little later in the program. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. Maybe you're a parent. Does your child or teenager get enough sleep? What do you think about the idea of moving school start times a bit later in the morning? Or maybe you think they're fine where they are, or maybe you even think they should be earlier. Let us know about it. 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. With us for the rest of our program today is Sharon Demoulin-Carat, superintendent of Peoria Public Schools. Dr. Carat, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Kathy Marshall is a regional school superintendent for the Regional Office of Education 28, which serves Bureau, Henry, and Stark counties. But more to the point for our conversation, she's the parent of a high schooler herself. Kathy, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Mike Sitch is a teacher at Champaign Central High School, co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers. He's also a parent. Mike, thank you for being here.
I can't believe I'm on the 21st. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you. So, all right, Dr. Carat, I'm going to start with you. You oversee a district that has more than 24 school buildings, right? Elementary schools, high schools, special education center. What are some of the factors that go into those different schools starting when they do?
Well, actually, a number of years ago, Maybe, because this is my 11th year superintendent. So Dan Adler was president, I'll never forget. We attempted to, because it was a huge item for him. He made a concerted effort to change the time and switch it around. And we were so close and missed it by one vote. But we navigated all of the things you've heard about transportation, and we would have built in, like California did, an extra 15 minutes to be able to do the transfer. But there's a lot, but it's still possible. I think I'm happy you're having this conversation because it is outdated, the current system that we currently have. I was a high school principal at Manual, and we started at 8, part of the school improvement efforts, and then a new superintendent came and switched it back to 7:30. That was very disappointing, but thank you for keeping the conversation going.
What difference did you see when that made when you were, in daily contact with high school students as a principal?
Yeah, everything that the doctors referenced, improved grades and test scores, fewer absences and late arrivals, just kids being happier. Even now, like at home, when I'm getting ready for work and getting ready to get out of the door, I'm hearing the buses. All 6 o'clock buses are out picking up kids, high school kids. That's very, very early, 6 o'clock. I'm like, wow. And we know, as they've said, they're on their phones. They, Lord knows how many hours they're functioning when they do come to that classroom, how many hours of sleep they've gotten. So there's a lot of exhaustion going around. And the caffeine, I see a lot of them with Starbucks drinks. I'm not sure what they're drinking, but
Yeah, definitely. All right, Kathy Marshall, I'm going to bring you into the conversation. Now, you're in a more rural area. How do school start times look in your part of Illinois?
It's about the same as the state average. Our earliest start time is at a high school, which is at 7:55 in the morning. Our latest is 8:25. So it's around that 8 o'clock, 8:15-ish range. And that's for just general school start times. That doesn't take into account specialty courses and things like that that kids are signed up for at the high school levels.
Oh, and that's where some people may not be aware of this if they haven't had a young person in school for a while. You could take a class at the high school, and then you have to get there like an hour early even for that, maybe to do an advanced math class or something like that.
Some schools offer early bird opportunities, whether it's just some of their regular general education classes, or AP, dual credit. Some of those kinds of opportunities exist in some of our high schools, not all of them, but they allow them to come in and start their day earlier for those students who choose to do so.
And I would imagine in a rural district, bus transportation times are probably longer. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I mean, in a rural area, kids can be on the bus for a while. It's a lot of miles in some of our districts as far as square miles go.
All right, Mike Sitch, you're a teacher at Champaign Central. How do you see the schedule for students? Or I should say, how does the schedule for students affect, how and when you and your fellow teachers start and finish your days?
Yeah, so much like everyone else is saying, the day kind of starts for us at about 8:05, 8:10 for high schools. That's when they begin. And I noticed kind of, this is an interesting anecdote maybe, is we just changed the clocks, went to daylight savings time. So first hour really is kind of an hour later than it had been for the last week. And this week, you do notice kids being a little bit more attentive and engaged in those first periods of the day than they had been when, it was really dark in the morning and they were exhausted. So those first 2 hours of the day, you do see that. I am curious though to see if, I've never paid attention to it in that way, to see like if that stays that way or if their sleep cycle sort of adjusts to the new expectations. But for teachers, I think like everyone else in the community, right? We build our lives around our work day. And for teachers, it's the student day. So if you've got your own kids, you're putting them on a bus or you're transporting them somewhere. And so we've played around with start times here in Champaign, not for the high schools in a while, but we did at some of the other levels. And you learn really quickly that the minute you move a time, the logistical things really become something that you've got to bring people in on. Daycares have to restructure their buses and when they're picking up kids from schools, after school programs, the sporting and extracurricular things. If you go later, it's a question we would ask is like, is the community ready to say, all right, we're all willing to go a little bit later so that kids can get through their day, and then making sure that, you know, all the other districts do that too. So from, and then one thing I do think about with teachers is as we get older, our circadian rhythms, when you start moving into the afternoon and teachers slow down. So it's an interesting dichotomy to be in a classroom and see teachers really peppy, you know, the first part of the day, and the kids are kind of dragging, and by the end of the day, you see that sort of inverse. So there must be
teachers need a nap when the kids are hitting their stride.
That's right. Yeah, they're hitting their stride. That's right.
Yeah, I could feel that. All right. Well, I want to bring one other perspective into our conversation today, and that is Joseph Neela, who is a junior at Stevenson High School in Lincolnshire in the Chicago suburbs. He voiced his support earlier this year for some legislation that was in the Illinois General Assembly. It would have required public high schools across the state to start at 8:45 or later. Obviously, he is in school as we are live on the air this morning, so he can't be with us. But a couple of weeks ago, he spoke with our producer, Christine Hatfield, about some of these issues. This is what Joseph had to say about whether he and his fellow students are getting the rest they need.
I would say that, like, I noticed the majority of our students are actually pretty tired when we get to school, because usually students will be participating in a lot of like before school activities. So that'll like push it up to like a 7:30, 7:45 early class. So yeah, I noticed like when I talked to a lot of my friends and peers, mostly everyone's like pretty tired, and like I feel like no one's actually getting the adequate amount of sleep that they need.
Mike Sitch, do you see this among the teenagers that you teach?
For sure. Yeah, it's a pretty regular occurrence. Kids that are engaged in doing stuff. I mean, and it's not just active in school. Here in Champaign, we've got kids that are working, you know, 20, 30 hours a day on top of it. And they're also like transporting and taking care of their younger siblings too. High schoolers are. So yeah, kids are tired.
All right. Another, we'll share some, more comments from our listeners. This is a text message we got from Joe in Carbondale, who asks, how late is later? I teach older teens, 17 to 20 years old, who have trouble making a class that starts at 12:30 p.m. because they're up until 2 in the morning doing whatever it is that older teens do instead of sleeping at night. While it's probably true that school doesn't motivate them to get up early, having a job to get up for doesn't seem to do the trick either. Joe in Carbondale says, for those students, I doubt that a later start time would help. Although cell phones and the internet have brought about great positive changes, those improvements have come at a great cost. And Mike, do you see smartphones as a factor in this, in your experience as well?
Yes. And lots of schools are really starting to sort of wrestle with it, at least in the building. And it does seem like the families are kind of recognizing the role they play in kids after school. I actually teach a psyche class here in Champaign, and we do some informal research on like tracking students' usage time and when they tend to be on it, and trying to do some advocacy around not being on them at night before bed. Oops, sorry, that's one of our bells. I'll mute.
That's all right. This is real life happening. That's good gnat sound, we call that in public radio. Well, Kathy, let me come back to you. How well has your high schooler handled the start time for his classes?
My high schooler loves early bird and has been in early bird classes since his sophomore year when the opportunity became available. And, you know, he is one that will go to bed at a decent time. He goes to bed when he's tired. Of course, we've had to parent him into learning to do that, but to recognize it when you're tired and you can go to bed, go to bed. You know, I agree with everything that Mike has pointed out here, and Dr. Karat as well, and all of the decisions and the big pieces that come into play. And it's, I'll be honest with you, as a school leader, not just as a parent, but as a school leader, there's a lot that goes into those decisions with start times. You know, in the proposed legislation last spring, given the science and given what we know about brain development with kids, I think all really looks good and sounds good. But I think the practical piece to that Switching and going to later start times, I think, takes away some of the local control and the local ability to for school boards and administrators to make decisions for their community. But going back to just the question with my being the parent piece to that, my 18-year-old loves getting up early, likes getting things done, and then being able to leave school sooner and go to work or go to practice and go lift weights, do all of those things, or even sit down and socialize with some of his friends to just be a kid.
Fair, fair. I guess perhaps in that 20% of high schoolers, according to the CDC, who are getting
Right.
adequate sleep. Dr. Karat, let me come back to you. What do you hear from people in your district about how well the start times do or do not work for them?
Yeah, so one of the things actually we tried in 2019, 2020 again to make that adjustment and push the high schoolers to start at 8:45 instead of 7:30, because I was really intrigued by the science we heard from the doctors that it tells us that the teenagers' bodies are wired differently and their sleep clock shifts, and so they naturally fall asleep later and need to wake later. But many, yeah. So anyway, so the kids are fighting, kids have to fight biology every morning. But when we went through that journey, I was really impressed. There was a task force, a community came and spoke, and it was a really good process. And some of the things, and number one, change is very, very difficult. And I heard a lot, it's already been mentioned as well. Just the we it was tough to overcome parents saying, the younger one, the high schoolers who would get out at 2:30, they get home, so they have to take care of the younger kids. So that was definitely a big piece for us. And then we have a lot of walkers, because we have 27 buildings, over 13,000 students. And so some kids in some areas are not eligible for transportation. So then, some comments around it will be dark, and the little bitty ones, kindergartners, first graders, will have to walk in the dark by themselves. And so I heard some of that as well.
I'm going to share another message from a listener, Dr. Karat, and then I'll ask you to respond to that. This is from Julie in Bettendorf, Iowa, who says, I don't know the research on later start times. I do know there is a universal surge in excessive absences in high schools across the state. I'm not sure starting later is the answer. She says there's a lack of effort, drive, grit, whatever you want to call it, but it's likely deeper and caused by poor brain health, which definitely is tied to poor sleep, inadequate rest, and interrupted focus due to high-paced screens and social media. Thank you for that message, Julie. Dr. Karat, just about a minute and a half until we need to take a break, but do you see a link between potentially start times and screens and the excessive absenteeism, which I think you and I have actually talked about on this program in the past?
Yeah. So actually, this is our second year for phone-free school districts. So they're not allowed to have their phones in the building. I know it's a fighting battle, but I think we've done a good job at least sending that message and holding everybody accountable for. So yes, for sure, and that was one of the reasons why. And then of course, since after COVID, folks just won't send the kids to school or for any reason. And so we have made a concerted effort at our district. Every school has an attendance committee, and they're doing a really nice job. We were just talking about our school report card with the community this morning, and showed chronic absenteeism has gone down significantly for us. And it's a really an intentional effort to provide supports, to reach out, alarm clocks, whatever they need. And so it's a lot, it's a lot, but it's a variety of things. But definitely screen time does make a difference, and we're trying to put things in place to ameliorate that educational experience in the buildings.
Yeah, it's amazing that somebody just, something as simple as maybe needing an alarm clock could make that difference. But that's great to hear. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about school start times, whether they should be later, whether they should stay as they are, maybe even go earlier. We want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number. We need to take a short break. We'll continue in just a moment. Again, this is the 21st show. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you are just joining us, we are talking for the hour today about the debate around school start times, from why they are what they are to why many doctors say there should be later start times, and why some people, especially in schools, say that's easier said than done. I want to share another listener text. This is from Anne in Urbana. She says, schools are built backwards sleep-wise. Lower grades should start early. Upper grades should start later. As I understand it, that would fit in better with their biological rhythms. Also, Amy in Wakanda says, OMG, please, with multiple E's, start school later. I used to have to start school at 7:30 in the morning and start adult work later, too. Everyone, start later, work less. That's the point of improving society, the whole point to improve life. Thank you for that enthusiastic message, Amy. Listeners, if you want to share your perspectives on this or other conversations we are planning for the show, you can join our texting group by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. Again, that's TALK, T-A-L-K, 217-803-0730. We're talking about this subject with Kathy Marshall, Regional School Superintendent for the Regional Office of Education 28, which serves Bureau, Henry, and Stark counties, also the parent of a high schooler. Also with us is Mike Sitch, teacher at Champaign Central High School, co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers, and Sharon DeMoulin-Carat, superintendent of the Peoria Public Schools. You can join us live today, 800-222-9455. All right, Mike Sitch, how would it change your schedule and the school if it had to start later, if that legislation, for example, had passed this year?
Well, personally, with my kids kind of being older, it'd be fine. It would just move our days back. But I do think about the extracurriculars being later or the extent to which they'd be missing school. I think that's what's interesting about the law. If you make it a statewide thing, it would force all of the extracurriculars, you know, sports and other competitive clubs to rethink that structure. If not, you're going to have huge swaths of kids missing out on much of their school day, their academic day, in order to travel and be a part of these competitions.
So, for example, if there's a track meet at 4 p.m., sure, the kids need an hour and a half on the bus to get there. Maybe that cuts into the end of a later school. Okay, I follow what you're saying. Yeah.
And then for me, and I think a lot of teachers, it really does come down to the pragmatics of it. Like, how does it fit into their schedule with their own kids or lives or where they travel to and what those schedules are like? So
I want to share another text from a listener. This person is calling themselves Jay from Harvard, Illinois. Says, later starts probably help, but kids will probably just stay up even later. Can't blame them. They're not dumb. What future do they see? Let them sleep. Okay, that took kind of a dark turn at the end there, but Mike, what do you think of that?
Well, that's kind of why I brought up the topic of how we do or the time of the day. You know, we just fell back. I'm sorry, the daylight savings time. That was kind of, I was positioning that because I didn't know if we just get used to the timing. I mean, you would think while we're in this daylight savings time and it's brighter earlier in the day and it's feels an hour later than it did a week ago. Like, is that where we need to be for them? Or does it, to his point, just wind up being the habits of the day that begin to take control more than maybe the biology?
Yeah. Personally, I adjust over time and kind of end up back in the same patterns I was in. Yeah.
Same.
Dr. Carat, I want to come back to that legislation from earlier this year that would have required an 8:45 or later start time for public high schools. But first, let's hear again from Joseph Neela, that junior at Stevenson High School. His school day, as it stands, starts at 8:30. Our producer, Christine, asked him what difference an extra 15 minutes would make.
Even though it may seem small, like, hey, 8:30, 8:45, those 15 minutes can really, that a lot can happen within those 15 minutes. Like, personally, when I wake up and when I shower and I get ready for school and all that stuff, that'll take me around like 20, 25 minutes, like some days. So like those 15 minutes can save a whole like morning routine for me.
Dr. Grout, how do you think about this, the effect these start times can have?
I love this kid, actually. He's going places. And we were actually, right now, a high school starts at 7:30. and our primary high schoolers and middle schoolers start at 7:30 to 2:30. Then the middle, the elementary kids, 8:30 to 3:30. So, yeah, I agree. So between, 15 minutes, I agree with everything he said. And it's the same as the traditional school calendar. It's an agrarian calendar. And I know it's really hard for us to change. It's a traditional 9-month calendar with a long summer break, which was designed in the 19th century when families relied on planting and harvest seasons. So we have in Peoria, we have a year-round calendar. It's kind of like a year-round calendar. So we started school July 30th. And that took about 3 years of research, a lot of conversations. And it was tough when the union said, okay, 50-50, we're not going to get into the fight about it, because half of my members are, the union president said, half of my members are in favor. And so it's 50-50. So last month, the new union president surveyed the members, and now over 60% of them are still in favor. It's increased. Still in favor of this year-round calendar where they get 2 weeks off for spring and 2 weeks off for fall. And it was to give them more rest and relaxation, because after COVID, I just saw the fatigue overall, it's maybe piloting. I've been thinking about, this idea of piloting one high school because we have three high schools, with this idea of, if the board wants to bring it back up again. And then just looking at the data, looking at the pros and cons, and so starting slow to go far as we continue this conversation.
I'm glad you mentioned the idea of the sort of agrarian basis for some of these start times, because we did get a text message about that. This is from Randy in rural Peoria County, who says, he has a court-appointed role to be a parent to one of his grandchildren, age 12. And he says, we are now up at 5:30. The bus is at the door at 7. He says they're getting his laptop charged, his homework done, and the right color shoes. However, Randy says, I would be very, very, very highly against any move to delay the schedule. And Randy says, this is another issue on which city folks misunderstand their rural farm neighbors. Our children need to be home early, start school earlier, Randy says. Thank you for that message, Randy. Kathy, I'm going to ask you about that because, again, you're in a more rural part of the state. Do you see an urban-rural divide on this?
I do. I think there are some things that go into decisions when you're in a more rural atmosphere that our school officials have to keep in mind as they make the start-of-day decisions. Again, falling back on this, the legislation that was proposed, well, I don't know that any of us disagree with the science and all of the pieces of the data that we could see potentially with the kids. I think we still have to be able to fall back on what we know is best in each of our communities. What is good in one community and one of my counties may not be good, 30 miles down the road in another county, just based on the county makeup or the community makeup with that. So that, it's just kind of nice to be able to make those decisions that are best for your community.
Let's hear one more clip from Joseph, the Stevenson High School student. Christine asked him about some of the pushback against later school start times, especially in terms of logistics. This is what he had to say.
Obviously, there are going to be some roadblocks and obstacles as you move forward. But personally, I don't think any of these issues are too big or insurmountable for us to overcome. I feel like you could obviously adjust around the bus routes. I don't feel like that's a big thing. If you have the will and the ability to do it, why not do it,
Kathy, what do you say to that?
I don't disagree with them. I think if you have the will, you find a way, right? But there's also bits and pieces that go into, locally here, we have school districts that, besides just the regular bus driver shortage that all of us are experiencing across the state, those school districts that have been lucky enough to be fully staffed have bus drivers that actually go to a second job or actually go to their full-time job, but they've made time to be able to drive a route because of the times of their routes. So that takes some people out of the mix of being able to do that. And you know, I don't disagree with the young man. What you find a way, right? I think those are just discussions that if this is going to be something that becomes a statewide expectation through legislation, people need to know all the moving parts to it.
All right, it's the 21st show. We've been spending the hour today on the subject of school start times. It's the first full day after the end of daylight saving time, obviously. We're talking about why schools start when they do and getting into some of the back and forth on whether schools should start later. One more listener text to share. Tony in Champaign says, accommodate those families with school-aged children. When do those parents have to leave for work? When do they get back home? We're talking about this with Mike Sitch, who's a teacher at Champaign Central High School, co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers, Sharon DeMoulin-Carat, superintendent of Peoria Public Schools, and Kathy Marshall, regional school superintendent for the ROE, Regional Office of Education 28, which serves Bureau, Henry, and Stark counties. Just a few minutes left in the program today. Mike, if schools cannot change start times, right? What could they do to help students be better rested and, you know, potentially, hopefully, get a better education?
Well, I appreciate that guy's comment, actually. I think his name was Tony. But it speaks to, like, at the heart of what this issue is, which is, are schools supposed to serve students or serve communities? And I think that's what all communities are, like, struggling with, or not struggling with, but, like, that's the task, is to determine how do the schools fit into how our community works, or we want them to be the centerpiece. And to your question about what are some things we can do, I was really thinking about that, and flexibility in when the day is happening. I think Americans love choice more than anything now, and there's a certain paradox to it, where, if, you know, no matter what choice people make, it may feel wrong or bad, but opening up our schools longer, thinking about shifts for teachers, making it available for some kids who are struggling to stay longer. You're obviously going to have to work with teachers groups on that, right? But maybe start having some of those conversations, because there are kids that get up early and they want to be here and they want to get it done and then go to their jobs or go to their extracurriculars. And there are other kids who are up early because they're taking care of, you know, someone at their home, and they're exhausted from doing that because they worked a late night and they'd like to see a later day. May have to start wrestling with a little bit of that if we want kids in there. So those are a couple things you could do.
Dr. Carrata, I understand you're retiring at the end of this school year. How do you expect these conversations to continue, right, in Peoria and beyond in the months and years ahead?
Yeah, we do have a great board, and I've been fortunate with that. I like what Kathy said about local control. That's very, very important. When we went through that process in 2019, 2020, the entire community, they were engaged. They looked at the research, the pros and cons, and then they voted. So I really, really like that, because one of the things I've learned over time is my role as superintendent is not really to make decisions for them. It's to provide good, solid information and then see at play how they handle that. And then options in Peoria, I think we're doing well with our attendance went up as well in our report card by 91%, where chronic absenteeism decreased. Because again, we're also providing a lot of options. We have evening school, we have weekend school, we have a later start, we have some optional programs. So for those students who need that option, we're able to provide that for them as a way to, you know, to meet the needs of everybody. So, and I will still be in town. So I think they'll continue to have those conversations if they see fit.
All right. Well, I appreciate this conversation. Sharon DeMoulin-Carat is superintendent in Peoria Public Schools. Kathy Marshall, regional superintendent in Bureau, Henry, and Stark counties. And Mike Sitch, teacher at Champaign Central and president, co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers. Thank you all so much for being with us and sharing your perspectives with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Yeah, learned a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. And thanks also to Dr. Lindsay McCullough and Dr. Stephanie Crowley and to Joseph Neela, our high school student from Lincolnshire, and everyone who wrote in and called and texted. We really appreciate hearing your perspectives in these conversations. If you want to join our texting group, or send us an email to talk to let us know what you thought about what we talked about. You can find all the ways to do that on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Coming up tomorrow, a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate to succeed Dick Durbin. Let us know what questions you have. Again, 21stshow.org. That's it for us today. Thanks for listening.